easy peasy, no big deal. Just
oh, was it a big deal?
No, it wasn't a big deal. That's why
when
I said
was
it wasn't.
When was it ever a big deal?
You're talking about doing this podcast? It has frequently been a big deal to do this podcast.
It's like, I would say at most a medium deal.
A medium deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
like, it's not the, we haven't supersized the deal. This is more like a junior deal.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if that dog barking is going to come across on the podcast.
Possibly. That's okay.
What is the podcast?
This podcast you're talking
about?
Yeah,
what is this podcast?
This podcast is known as My
Girlfriend
Begrudgingly
Reads
Dune.
Dune.
Dune. Yeah. I am Sean. I like Dune. I've read it several times. This is Caitlin.
I'm Caitlin. I'm reading Dune for the first time. And, you know, the name of the podcast just isn't a lie. We're not fronting here.
No. We were very late in getting our podcast done last week. And
yeah.
So, you know, when I came, we just went out for a social distancing dinner and drinks at an outdoor place.
Beautiful view.
Yeah.
Lovely time.
And when I came back, I wasn't necessarily like, oh, you know what's the best capper for tonight is let's do a podcast.
Oh, so you're begrudgingly doing the podcast right now?
No, I'm not. But it's just one of those things where it's like, all right, let's do it. Let's just not do it.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it and get it done. This weekly chore we have where we spend time together and talk about a specific thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. I mean, so are you telling the listeners that you're doing this for their sake, even though...
Yeah.
Are you trying to make them feel guilty?
Yeah, they should feel... Why do you make me do this? It's hard. No, it's not that hard. And it's just... It's part of our practice, you know,
right.
Like flipping our dog.
I guess so. But I guess my thing also is, like, do what feels good. Don't do what doesn't feel good. Especially, like, when that shit... It's not like a life or death, everything hangs in the balance kind of situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for all the times that we have been late doing the podcast, TBH, that's just because I'm like, hey, not right now for me, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So I just, I want you to give yourself the same permission is all I'm saying.
Well, I'm also, but I hear you,
mm-hmm.
And that's great. But it's also like, you know how, for me, tonight the podcast was kind of like, when you make plans with your friends,
mm-hmm.
and you know you're going to have a good time with
mm-hmm.
them, but the day comes
yeah.
that it is now Friday night or whatever, and you get home from work, and...
You're just, like, struggling with the get up and go.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
like, I know it's going to be fun once I'm out there, once I'm
right.
with them, but, like, just getting off the couch right now just doesn't sound that good.
And you have to just have trust in yourself and in your friends and in
right.
the plans that it will be good and it will be better than just, like, staying at home with a Stouffer's mac and cheese. And watching a video that you've already watched.
Right. And the other thing about that is, like, you can go out with your friends and just be like, you know what? I did this. And you know what? I actually would rather be on the couch right now. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go do that. You
yeah.
know?
Right. That's give yourself permission to say, fuck this. I don't want to do it. Like, we could stop doing the podcast right now
mm-hmm.
if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I don't want to. If you want to, we'll stop.
No, I don't want to.
All right. Well, great.
I'm full of BBQ, margaritas, New England IPA, my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
We got really nice views. We
mm-hmm.
got our table a little rained on, but
mm-hmm.
that was okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm feeling good right now.
Mm-hmm. Vim, vigor, and vitality is what
yeah.
I'm feeling right now.
And I took a bath today.
You did.
I'm experimenting with some new hair products.
Mm-hmm. She takes one bath a week, whether she needs it or not.
Yeah. I always need it.
Okay.
I need it to reset. It's like
mm-hmm.
my reset button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always like it when you take your weekly bathe because then you don't stink so bad.
What?
You heard me.
I bathe more than once a week.
But you mostly shower bath. You don't.
Yeah, I
you
shower.
You don't tub bath.
I thought you were going to say you like it when I take my weekly bath because you get some alone time and you don't have to hang out with me.
Well, that's part of it, for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
actually,
fun.
It was weird the other day. on Saturday when you had to go do shit and I just came home.
Mm-hmm.
And because normally you're like, all right, on the weekends you're like, it's time for tasks. We have let's mm-hmm. go write down a list, and then we have to do all of these things.
This weekend was no exception.
No, it wasn't. But there was a blessed 3 or 4 hours where I came home and I was like, I didn't. I think I just ended up napping. Before any tasks were accomplished. And you came home and you were like, oh, I had this fantasy that you would have done all the chores before I got back. And I was like, nope.
Yeah, I know.
I fucked the fuck off.
At the same time that I had the fantasy, I embraced the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready to do that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, at the same...
And that's why we worked. You didn't have unrealistic expectations. And you were able to, like, say, okay, well, this is what Sean's probably wants to do. And you can respect that. And we'll TCB together at the TCBing time later on.
I'd say
we did.
We did a nice combo of chilling and having fun and also TCBing today.
Yeah, we did a good one. Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like it was really nice earlier this week when you were like, I just want to let you know I am looking around the house and acknowledging that there's shit that needs to be done.
Mm.
And, like, that was really nice to hear that because, you know, like, we've talked about it 1,000 times. Mm. I don't need you to want to do the shit, but it's, like, nice when you see that there's shit that needs
to be
done.
Well, that was a conversation we had about, you know, this sort of feeling. Because it was called out very well in the Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston classic The Breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Not a classic, obviously. I'm being facetious.
It's
but,
not, but it is
but
a
there
really...
Was,
I actually think it's an interesting film in some ways.
Yeah, it's not super pleasant. I remember watching it with my ex-girlfriend, and we were both just like, uh-huh, that was super accurate of all the reasons that we're having problems right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the things they said was Jennifer Aniston was... They were in a fight, and Jennifer Aniston was... complaining that Vince Vaughn doesn't she was like, I want you to want to do the dishes, and he's like, why would I want to do the dishes?
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's literally an argument I have had in like another life.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that the thing that we kind of talked about was like wanting someone else to want to do the dishes is almost a deferment of your own desires. You know, it's like,
yeah,
if
you're like
you want
trying
the,
to project it onto
if you
it,
want
yeah.
the dishes to be done, own that you want the dishes to be done.
Right. Like, so I can either say, I'm going to do the dishes, or I'm going to say, hey, can you do the dishes? Because I want the dishes to be done.
Yeah. And it's okay to say, I want the dishes to be done. Mm-hmm. Like, to say, I want you to want to do the dishes is like you say, it's a projection. But it's also like, it's you're not claiming your own desires. You know?
Yeah.
And it's okay to have. It's okay to want a tidy house.
But I think it works out particularly for us, and I just want to acknowledge this because this definitely isn't true for all couples, but like I do think it works out for us because we're both like acts of service are our love language.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that we have the same love language
mm-hmm.
because for both of us it we communicate our love through doing acts of service and we feel loved through acts of service.
Yeah.
And so you know, I can say, hey, can you do the dishes? And I know we're just using this dishes example over
sure.
and over again, but usually it's like vacuuming or whatever, you know.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll be like, yeah, I'll do that because it makes me feel good to do that for you, you know. And I don't think that's true in all relationships by any means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sometimes you get drunk every night and pass out before it's time to do the dishes.
Not every night,
and
it's not always because I'm drunk.
Yeah, sometimes you're high or
no, I'm
like
not.
On
I'm
pills.
Never high. What are you talking about?
Sometimes you've just like been promiscuous outside of the home,
oh my
and then you
goodness.
Come home exhausted, and then
fine.
So
whatever.
You know,
I'm done defending myself.
but you're always like, you wake up, and you're like, did you already clean? Because
I have every intention. Last night,
yeah.
I even said, I'm trying so hard not to fall asleep and stick you with the dishes right now.
But I'll get up and clean up because that's, and like, I don't mind because that's kind of my time to do things on my own terms. And I listen to a podcast, you know, I might do a couple other, you know, things
mm-hmm.
involving things that are perfectly legal to do mm-hmm. in your own home in Massachusetts mm-hmm. In particular. And I'll just enjoy my time, like, at the end of the night, you know, as a relaxing way to clean up and then get and then be ready for bed, you know. And I'm fine doing that because it's like I get to do it.
And the other thing to acknowledge is that we have a housemate, and, mm-hmm. like, you actually are, like, the newcomer to this house.
Yeah.
Where there have been established practices of, like, you don't just, like, leave your shit all around in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know? And so you are also, like... You're not just doing the dishes for me. You're doing the dishes, like, for the house.
Yeah, right? House dishes, right. Yeah. Asher takes care of their own dishes.
Exactly.
But, so, oh, wait. I think that's the first time we've ever talked about our housemate. I'm not trying to blow up their spot. I might have to edit that out. Or talk to Asher about using their name.
You can ask.
They might be like, keep your name out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh, that'd be fun to watch.
You have weird... enticements. No, you don't. Not to yuck your yum. You can fantasize about me having a knockdown dragout fight with our roommate over things.
No, I just think it'd be different. It'd be a change of pace, you know. We've been cooped up, quarantined for months now. We just haven't seen anybody get slapped in a while.
Mm. That was a common occurrence for you?
No, I don't know. Whatever. It's just weird what counts as excitement during these times, okay?
I agree with that. Like, whenever the two, like, neighbor cats, like, cross in our mm-hmm. backyard and have a big fight, it's...
And you and both of the cats run to the window.
Yeah. And it's just something to talk about for days. Oh, yeah. Man, Frankel and Mr. Business were getting into it.
Mr. Business, whose actual name is Kitty, yeah. Which to me strikes me as a girl's name, but apparently Kitty is a boy, so it is appropriate to call him Mr.
Dude,
Business.
Yeah, Business. There are boy kitties.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, that's not
in
term.
This house, but
no,
yeah.
In general. So, Dune...
Yeah, right. What we're actually here to talk about.
This was a barren episode.
And it was an average length chapter.
So
that was nice for me because it wasn't like a, oh my God, such a long chapter, what a slog. It wasn't like a, oh, I feel like I need to read another chapter because it was only 4 pages. Mm-hmm. Just like a nice, I don't even know, maybe 8 to 10 page chapter.
Yeah, totally.
Right in the middle there.
Yeah, it's good. And so, can you give us a quick recap? And can I make a request about the recap?
Yeah. No promises.
Milk it a little bit. Like...
Oh, God. Okay.
You know, like, the last time you were like, okay, here's what happened. Number one, one sentence about this. Number two, one sentence about that. Number three, one sentence about that. Number four, that's the ending thing I'm going to talk about. And we're done. Podcast over.
It wasn't like podcast over. Yeah. It was just like, that was actually the first chapter I've read actively thinking about the fact that I was going to need to recap it.
Oh, okay.
So I
literally
constructing the bullet points in my head as I was reading
it. Okay, all right. Cool.
So what happened in this chapter, and honestly, Sean, like, I love you, but you can't want me to want to recap the chapter. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Well, let's say this. Let's use our, you know, like, let's take a healthy, relationship approach to this.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps could it give you pleasure to, for me, draw out the recap? I'm not asking you to want to draw out the recap a little bit, to make it dramatic and enticing, but for me and the listener, for our warm fuzzies, could you?
I'll give it my best, but honestly...
With our understanding that it is a sacrifice for you, and
no,
we will be grateful.
No, it's not even a sacrifice. It's like a skill, you know.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's like a skill I have or like a thing that comes at all naturally, so
okay.
I'll do my best.
All right.
So we open on the Baron Harkonnen sleeping.
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah, and he sleeps in those suspensors. Like, he's wearing these anti-gravity suspensors.
He just, like, wears them horizontally or something?
Yeah, I guess so. He just, like, tunes them and is like, all right, we're going to flip back a little bit. You know, I'll adjust to my neck fat ones. You know,
which is
sure.
padded, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, they got to be padded, yeah.
I guess so. It's this whole thing. The funny thing is, like, every time that Frank Herbert describes the Baron Harkonnen, He just uses the absolute worst adjectives he can think of. Yeah. To the point that he'll just be like, gross. He'll just be like, I'm just going to call this guy gross.
Yeah.
And then he has other families members. They're gross too. You got to understand, these people are gross. They're
fucking gross, disgusting.
He's like
people.
Not even trying to like elaborate. He's like, these are nasty fucking fuckers.
Except for Fade, who basically looks like T-Shall and Sting mixed together.
Mm.
Yeah. Young cool. Sting. Not that old Sting is not hot, because old Sting is totally hot, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, I always say men age well. It's totally unfair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Okay, so you open on the Baron. He's sleeping in the suspensors. One of his lackeys comes in. I forget the guy's name.
The captain of the guard who is addicted to Samuda, which
oh,
is...
Oh, yeah. And the Baron's like... This is from the POV of the Baron. Third person POV inside the Baron's head.
Yeah, we don't actually get to hear what Samuda Boy is thinking.
But the Baron's song. Like, I can tell he was high, and then he just like quickly got unhigh with whatever the antidote is.
Which just makes me, because I love the idea of like being addicted to Samuda. If I was in there, because Samuda is this. It is... It's such a fun to me as a minor appreciator of whatever. Here it's a drug, but it also has a special kind of music that you listen to when you're on the drug.
Oh, yeah.
That like it's a combo experience,
mm-hmm.
which totally we all know those who have partaken in different
substances.
That like music can hit you in a whole different way when you're on something, right? You know, and so I just like the idea of taking that and evolving that further into like this is a specific thing. It's like this drug is kind of shit whenever you don't whenever you take it alone, and this special kind of music is also probably shit when you're not high, you know, like prog rock or something. But if you put them together, whoa, now you got something. And then the third element is that you can just take an antidote to like not be high anymore whenever you need to. Like talk
about.
So
this
about,
is like your fantasy drug experience.
Talk about like, so good. Perfect drug experience. Like something you can do, something that you apparently do alone also is nice. You know, you just like.
Well, I definitely will say, like, you know, the thing that's always deterred me from doing, like, the bigger hallucinogenic drugs, like shrooms or acid or whatever. And, you know, I've said, and, like...
Oh, is that it's a fucking... You have to... It's, like, you... This is what you're doing for the weekend.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that and also, like, I'm just afraid of... getting a little too freaked out, you know? So, yeah, it'd be super nice if you could just be like, okay, like, actually, I can cancel this, you know?
Oh, perfect. That's what the thing they talked about in Star Trek Next Generation. They had synthahol. You could go to the bar on the ship and you could drink. They had alcohol if you really wanted it because, you know, they weren't trying to, like, not let you have things in the Federation. But what they usually drank was synthahol. And they never really talked too much about what that was, but it sounded like it was... I've heard it described that synthahol was like... It would get you drunk. You would get a buzz on it. But the minute... the second that adrenaline entered your system, that would eliminate all traces of like inebriation from you. So it's like
that's really interesting.
So you could be sitting there getting blitzed in 10 forward, which was what they called the bar. But the minute somebody was like battle stations, you would go and then all of a sudden you'd be sober.
Which I mean does kind of happen. Like adrenaline, I think sometimes can really snap you out of.
Oh, but if you're drinking and you get adrenaline, you're still drunk.
You're still drunk, for sure. But I mean, with other drugs, like weed, sometimes there are definitely like certain things. I don't know. I mean, maybe it depends on like how drunk you are, how high you are, or whatever. But there are certain. It's like that's why people say like ruin my buzz, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like that's a thing.
Uh-huh. A buzz kill, if you will.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Totally.
So anyway, So the we haven't even gotten that far into the chapter. So
no, we got to the guy with name? The Simutamish again there. And
I don't
there,
know what
and,
his name is.
And the news that the Baron is getting is that oh
no, I was I'm doing the recap, right, no. And you told me to milk it. Then you're jumping in. You're trying to take over the most important parts of the recap.
I
want you to want me to want to do the recap.
You want me to want you?
No. Yeah. I want you to want me.
Like, this is the first song on our newest album?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so the guy comes in. He's like, I got to tell you something. The Jessica and the kid, they're gone. Psh, dead. Canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Canceled from existence.
And the Baron is like...
He's like, you don't even know that. You just, yeah. What evidence do you have? Have you seen their bodies? Blah.
And he was like, but it was almost certain. And he was like, have you seen the bodies?
Yeah.
But have you seen the bodies, bro?
And his argument, this guy's argument is that they ornithoptered into a sandstorm,
mm-hmm.
that there's no way they could possibly survive. And mm-hmm. because, and part of the reason he thinks that is because... They sent in an ornithopter from their ranks after yeah. him, mm-hmm. after them, and that one went down. There was, like, no way that one was going to survive.
Yeah.
So this guy's... Oh, so then the Baron is, like, basically, like, here's what I want you to do. I have lost my mentat,
mm-hmm.
Piter, and I want to get this Thufir guy. He's... Seems like a real ace mentat.
Well, yes, totally. And can I pause your... That's great. Can I pause you for just a second mm-hmm. and say that first Samuda drug addict guy, mm-hmm. tells him the Sardaukar have captured Kynes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
And he's like, cool, I want Kynes dead. And we need to kill Kynes.
Mm-hmm.
And... Samuda drug addict is like, but that's going to be tough because Kynes is an imperial, works directly for the emperor. That's mm-hmm. like, emperor is not going to like that. And he's like, so make it look like an accident. Mm. And then he says, okay, well, actually, Sardaukar have two high-value prisoners, and one of them is Thufir, Hawa. Mm-hmm.
So he's like, Kynes is going to be real accident. Yeah. Thufir is going to be fake accident.
Yes, because... the Baron wants Thufir as a mentat. He's like, uh-huh. don't waste a mentat.
Yeah.
They are a valuable property, right?
Right.
And also he's like, furthermore, here's something you should know, like, when ruling, is like, never, always have a reason for killing somebody. Never uh-huh. just do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't waste human resources kind of thing.
Yeah, human resources.
Which is the Baron's thing is like he's like a sociopath, but he is like, don't waste resources.
Right.
And like some of the most valuable resources are human resources, but not because I like people or like value intrinsically their human lives. I just like value like valuable tools.
Yeah, totally. And in the future when computers have been abolished or whatever, you gotta have good mentats around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So he's like, capture Thufir and we're going to give him... So here's how I understood the plan. So basically they're going to slowly poison him.
Yes.
But they're also going to feed him the antidote to the poison.
Yeah.
So that the poison snoopers can't detect that he's being poisoned.
Because he's not. He's being antidoted constantly. Right. Because the poison, it's a special, he calls it a residual poison, invented by Piter DeVries, the late mm-hmm. Piter DeVries. And it's like, once you take the poison, it's always in you. It never comes out. It's...
So the way I understood this is, like, they're sort of slowly torturing him through, like, withdrawal. Like, they're basically, like, keeping him, like, docile and subservient by being, like, if you don't, like, eat the food we're giving you with the antidote in it, mm-hmm. you're going to feel like shit.
See, I'm not actually getting the idea because they're, like, we're going to woo... That's the other thing the Baron's
like...
It is
confusing.
I'm going to woo... I'm going to woo him. I'm going to say that you never got the best data from your old boss. Your old boss was a weak boss because he never gave you... What a mentat really wants was that sweet, sweet data.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm rich. Mm-hmm. The thing that Thufir's going to understand is that the whole... It's like, which is the truth. We don't like to admit it. We didn't kill the Atreides. We didn't destroy the Atreides as Harkonnens with our grand schemes and because we were smarter, better, faster, stronger mm-hmm. than the Atreides. We did it with our wealth. We did it with pure, concentrated throwing money at a problem, mm-hmm. right? And what Thufir is going to understand with his Mentat abilities is that what we can offer him, a Mentat that the Atreides couldn't, is a superior spy network, mm-hmm. which you can only buy with cash money, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we have, and the Atreides didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then my understanding of it, which I think is definitely open to interpretation, is like, and then our backup is that we're fucking. He's got to stay with us, or he'll die because he has to have the antidote that we're constantly feeding him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we're kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah,
it's sort of like if you
and in the David Lynch movie, it was cat milk. That was the antidote. It's really weird. They had to milk a cat.
Yeah. Oh, like in Meet the Parents?
Yeah, like in Meet the Parents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've got nipples. Greg, can you milk me?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was sort of thinking of like, you know, if you are, you're trying to sober up from alcohol, let's say, and you've got the DTs, uh-huh. and so you're just like, I'll do anything for this person who's going to help me through the DTs right now, you know?
Mm.
So it might be kind of both of those things going on. I don't know.
I think it's yet to be seen in the book, like how that's going to work out.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so they have this whole conversation. The guy's like, oh, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm mm-hmm. finally catching up. And then...
Right. Say no more. Not as good as a wink. Right. Yeah. Yep.
And then the Baron is like, now send in my meaty, gross, meathead nephew, cousin thing or mm-hmm. whatever.
Raban. Yeah.
He's like, this guy, he's going to be a good leader of Arrakis because he's like kind of a dummy, but he's like, this guy, he's not like the sharpest tool in the shed, but he's like the right guy for the job right now kind of thing.
Well, and I didn't get the sense when Raban came in, I felt like he was asking a good question.
He did seem smart.
I was like, yo, he sounds like a good administrator.
Yeah. And I think at some point before Raban comes in, the Baron, we learned that he has thought in his brain skull, like, oh yeah, I mean, I know I was giving this guy a hard time, but yeah, he's right. Jessica and Pollard definitely dead.
Oh yeah, that's right. Not Raban. Yeah, he was like the Samuda
before Raban
came
in.
Oh yeah, that guy's. Yeah, he's totally right. I was giving that guy a hard time because I'm trying to like keep him down. Because
he's like pain and fear, how you rule.
Yeah, right.
You're going into the last chapter.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's like us weird. It's
We did. I didn't put any markers this time.
No, but I wanted to read. Oh, here it is. So here's the thing. He never calls Raban stupid.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him a muscle-minded tank brain.
Yeah, I don't know what that means exactly.
Well, so this made me think. So like, yeah, he doesn't say, because what he wants, what his plan is, in my understanding, the Baron's plan is like.
I was getting to that.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, because the whole reason...
But I want to circle back to my thoughts about... Okay. I don't think he thinks that Raban is stupid. I think he thinks that he's a certain type of...
Yeah, that's what I'm... He's like, this kid is the right person for this job.
Yeah.
And the job, basically, that he communicates to Raban is like, I want you to lead this planet, and here's the... You know, before I had a really tight rein. Mm. Now you can do whatever the fuck you want, but you have to do one thing, and you really have to do it, and that is to like milk this planet for all the fucking money you can
Roman
squeeze out of it.
Roman numeral I, capital A, number one.
And that's the whole outline.
And that's the whole outline is profit.
Yeah.
Get the money.
And this is where the Baron is like, do you know how much fucking money we had to spend to do this whole like... Yeah. Harkonnens and Sarduakar uniforms and all the getting all these
all
vehicles.
The motherfucking poop juice out of this planet
for 60 years.
You
wouldn't even.
Yeah,
have
you
paid
might
me
just
that.
Begin to start to repay.
Yeah,
how much money we spent kicking the Atreides' butts.
And so then,
He goes off on this whole thing in his own brain about how shitty the guild is and like how the you know he wishes that he could. he could somehow undercut the guild monopoly and like get that.
Oh, I didn't even pick that up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and then Rabban is like, well, you know, the Fremen are a pretty good resource.
Mm-hmm.
And the Baron's like, what the fuck are you talking about? The Fremen are shit. They're not, they're totally worthless.
He's like, I hear what you're saying. No disrespect. Listen, I respect you, Baron. But with apologies, I always felt like we misunderstood the Fremen. Just saying. Like, and he's like, there's 5 million people on this planet. And he's like, I'm sorry, Baron. No disrespect. I must say, it's hard to do a sense of this fucking planet because it's weird out there. And you're not counting the Fremen. He's like, the Fremen don't count. And he's like, yo, dog, I like you. So, no disrespect.
And the reason that Rabban is sticking up for the Fremen is because he actually knows. He's actually gotten word of what the Baron hasn't gotten word of, which is that the Fremen just handily took out so many fucking Sardaukar. Yes,
right. They're like, he's like, they killed a bunch of Sardaukar.
And the Baron's like, there's no possible way. That was like, oh, the Atreides army.
Yeah. Which he's doing Donald Trump projection. No,
I think he was saying that was Atreides posing as Fremen.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Atreides posing as Fremen. And he's doing the Donald Trump projection thing where he's like thinking the Atreides did what he did, which is put Sardaukar and Harkonnen. And he's like, well, they put, you know, Atreides and Fremen. Which is, he's got the wrong end of the stick on that one too, because the Fremen are the badasses. And he's not hearing that. And Rabban's trying to tell him that.
Rabban's trying to be like, listen, I know how we can get money out of this planet. There's like kick-ass armies here or whatever.
And that's that. So this was another pleasant surprise, because what I'm always realizing as we read through this book, like hardcore chapter by chapter, and like have to really think about it, is how much of what I remember of this book actually comes from the movie, and how different the movie was. Because like in the movie, Rabban was truly like this, you know, big, ugly son of a biscuit eater who, like, cuts the tongue out of a dead thing that's hanging up and just starts chomping on. And he's like, yeah! And, you know, the floaty baron's, like, going around and being like, you take the planet for all it's worth! And he's like, I will, yeah, I can barely talk, me dumb, nom nom nom. And that's not what's coming through with Rabban in this one.
Yeah, I mean, so clearly the Harkonnen's projecting a lot of shit, right? He's projecting shit on Rabban. He's projecting shit on the Fremen. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think I've pretty much covered what I remember of this chapter.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But what's the...
You wanted to come back to something?
Oh, no. The muscle-minded tank brain.
Yeah.
Which I think... I mean, obviously, you can't put someone who is actually stupid or incompetent in charge of a whole entire planet. Or it's a very bad idea to put someone who's stupid and incompetent into a whole... Like, the Baron's not incompetent. He wouldn't put an incompetent in charge of this very important thing. So, like, the bees... So
yeah, it's kind of not... like they're... You know, the whole Republican Party is not incompetent, so they wouldn't put a completely incompetent person in charge of the whole country,
Okay, well, that's a good point. But I think the Baron is doing a lot better in his level of confidence than the Republican Party is doing right now. Because at the... Well, we can only stretch this analogy so far. I was about to say, because... You know, the he wouldn't make a good villain if he wasn't like smart, because this is wheels within wheels, you know. And then, but then if you say that about the Republican Party, you're like, well, yeah, but that's because we're living in like, you know, the stupid universe. What's his name from Community rolled a 6, and we're just in the darkest
timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A muscle-minded tank brain, I'm thinking about, you know, think about like the shittiest manager you've ever had who could still do the job and like did, and like his bosses probably liked him because he got the results that were needed, but like working for him was a nightmare. you know?
Yeah, or like a meathead gym guy who's like...
Who never forgets anything and can keep a task list in his head.
Oh my God, and he's like, I know which day is leg day.
Yeah.
But he's a muscle-minded tank brain.
Yeah, well, and but also muscle-minded tank brain is like, you know, he... I could also see that as being like... Every problem is a wall to be knocked over. And that's how he approaches things. And he gets shit done.
Mm-hmm.
He can manage the planet if managing the planet means maximizing spice output.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
Yeah, he's kind of got a hawkish domestic policy.
Yeah. He has a bunch of hawks in his brain. But instead of looking out for white supremacy, they're constantly on the lookout for inefficiencies in the spice manufacturing process.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Right.
But what was the... Well, soon enough, Khaleesi. The thing that I think you wanted to tell us, what is the Baron's grand plan for the planet? Who and Raban and Fade?
I forget that part. Okay. Sorry.
So what the Baron is trying to... Here's why the Baron is putting Raban in charge. Mm-hmm. He wants everybody in Arrakis to fucking hate Raban. He wants them to call him the Beast Raban.
Mm.
He's going to be rapacious in his spice gathering.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to... Everybody's going to hate this guy so much that when in 5-10 years or 60 years or whatever, when he puts... Fade Rautha, my beautiful sweet Fade in charge, my Tim Shell / Young Sting Fade Rautha in charge, everybody greets him as a liberator. They say, oh my God, aren't we so lucky? We love Fade.
Mm.
And then Fade is eventually going to be what? Emperor of the known universe.
Mm.
Replacing the Padishah Emperor. That's what his ultimate game is. He wants a Harkonnen on the imperial throne.
Right.
And he's like, it ain't gonna be me.
Not me, not Raban.
Not me, not Raban. Not any fruit of my loins, because I don't have loin fruits.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gonna be my nephew, Fade. Sweet, beautiful Fade.
Or what if it's a Jessica or a Paul, because they're fucking Harkonnens.
Yeah, they are. Oh, that's a good point. Oh my God, I never thought of that before. You just blew my mind.
Ugh, apparently that's not gonna happen.
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Just forget I said anything.
Yeah, don't say anything for the rest of the night.
Yeah, boy, I feel really sheepish right now. So yeah, and then that's basically the end. You know, he's like, muscle minded tank brain. They will be. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what Baron's vision for Arrakis is. They will be bloody pulp when he's through with them, talking about the Raban. Then, when I send in Fade Rautha to take the load off of them, they'll cheer their rescuer. Beloved Fade Rautha, benign Fade Rautha, the compassionate one who saves them from a beast. Fade Rautha, a man to follow and die for. The boy will know by that time how to oppress with impunity. I'm sure he's the one we need. He'll learn. And such a lovely body. Really a lovely boy. He's always, you know, because they have to make it.
Is he into little boys?
Well, I think he's into teens. He's into teen boys.
Mm.
He wants to fuck Paul. He kind of wants to fuck Fade. I don't know if he's... I don't know how much he's even going to forbear if it's going to be that thing with, like, the Roman emperors where he has his little fishies, and some of which are his nephews who will end up being emperor someday.
Yeah, I mean, so what's that thing... he'll know how to oppress with impunity. Like, I just feel like that is so the fucking game, right?
Yeah.
It's like, how do you... do oppression and get away with it and make it look like you're not doing oppression. Like,
yeah.
That's what, like, every leader's trying to fucking figure out.
And that's
out.
What, yeah.
It's disgusting.
I mean, that's... The Baron is the ultimate expression of, like, Machiavellian power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he is into.
Yeah.
Just amoral, me and my family, the goal is power, and power is the goal, and everything else is a means to
I just
that.
Totally feel like the interesting thing with the Fremen is they're sort of like the underestimated populace who mm-hmm. can rise up and do revolution, which is kind of an archetype, right?
But who are in their own way being manipulated through their religion, which is artificial and has been placed there by
Religion is the opiate of the masses.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I heard that somewhere.
Have you ever noticed that these three freckles on my leg kind of look like Orion's belt?
I want to say like the great summer triangle, you know, plus one more.
It does. It is. This definitely feels like a constellation.
Well, this
to
is
me.
Like these three are do look like Orion's belt, I'll say. And then mm-hmm. you actually have one here and one here.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the larger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you have any freckle constellations?
You're being charitable. Those are moles. Those are not freckles.
Oh, yeah, but they're not... Okay, yeah. But they're not, like, super hefty moles.
No, I've got hefty moles. I mean...
No, I know. I do, too. But these aren't them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Beauty marks. They're beauty marks, as my mom would say.
Yeah. Clusters of beauty marks all
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
This is not a visual medium, so...
No. I mean, listeners, if you want me to send the pictures of Kaylin's moles...
You're allowed to draw. You're allowed to do an illustration of it, but...
Oh, okay.
You can't take a picture.
Yeah. You know, sent a self-addressed stamped envelope to the P.O. box, and I'll send you... some Polaroids.
Oh, God.
Of Caitlin's moles.
No, this isn't that kind of podcast.
Okay.
This isn't the kind of podcast that everybody knows about where you send mole picture Polaroids.
Where is that podcast?
I think it's on the dark web.
Oh.
It's a dark web. It's a dark cast.
The dark web is one of those things where it's always like, I know it's out there, and I just have no... It just does not seem worth it. It's like, what do they got on the dark web? Kitty porn and drugs?
How do you do it? Do you go www.darkweb.com?
Every time it's like...
Is there a secret portal
somewhere? I think there's special software you gotta use,
uh-huh.
and it's just not worth it.
I mean...
It's like, I don't want kitty porn, and I can... If
it's
I want
weird,
drugs, I can buy them other places.
Sounds like you've dedicated a lot of thought to this, whereas every time I've heard about the dark web, I've just been like, oh, well, yeah, right.
No, the dark web, weirdly, you know, like as kind of a minor technology guy,
mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like something where some nerd is going to come to me at some point and go like, you don't know how to get to the dark web? And I'm just
going
to be like...
So you're worried about getting
like,
shamed. Dark web shamed.
Well, they're going to try and shame me with it. I'm going to be like, no, I don't. I just don't want to, you know?
Oh, man.
Or
yeah,
I feel like
really
one of my...
thought through.
One of my students is going to be like, you know, professor. And I'm not a professor. And they're going to be like, but, you know, but I saw this on the dark web. And I'm like, oh, really? And then... And they're going to be like, well, you don't know how to get to the dark web? And I'm like, no. And
oh, my God. Do you have, like, nightmares about this? Like, you really have
no, I don't have nightmares about it. And I'm just going to be... No, because the next
scenarios.
Thing that happens is I'm going to be like, listen, I learn how to do things when I need to do things technology-wise.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a reason to be on the dark web, I would learn how to do it. And no, but I have no reason to be on
well,
the dark
web. Well, the
other
thing about the dark web is it gets talked about on Scam Goddess all the time because it's like nobody's accountable for anything on the dark web. Sure, you can get... drugs and child porn or whatever, but it's not like you can call your credit card company if you pay somebody for something on the dark web and you don't get it.
Yeah. Well, no, a dark web's all Bitcoin. You send them a Bitcoin, you don't get what you want.
Well, still, it's not like you can call your Bitcoin company.
Remember when we were in Maine and
oh
we
my
were
God,
trying
that was
to
so
use
weird.
The ATM in some bar and there was like a Bitcoin ATM above
yeah.
the regular ATM and this
like,
lady
totally
was spending,
blocking it.
Spent 45 minutes buying Bitcoin for some goddamn reason on this
I'm
thing.
I'm so convinced she got ransomware.
Oh, totally. She got ransomware'd and she was trying to buy Bitcoin for her ransomware and we could have told it like I almost wanted to say to her, hey, don't pay them. They're just lying to you. you know?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do if you get ransomware?
Well, so typically what they do is they say, like, oh, we have all these videos of you masturbating in front of your computer, and we're going to send them to everybody on your Facebook list unless you send us Bitcoin.
I thought it was just like, oh, we have captured... And if it were me,
I would be like, joke's on you. Everybody on my Facebook list has already seen me masturbate, which is not true. But
that's not how it always works, though.
I don't know how
it works. No. I've heard about this happening, like, IRL in ways that people, like, they really have no recourse for other than paying them.
Oh, because it locks up all of their important computer files. It locks up
everything on their computer.
See, if I don't have it, computer files important enough to, like...
I'm not sure that I do either, or like, I would be like, all right, I'll throw this computer
away and use one of my other ones.
I could like go off of like what I have in the cloud or have emailed, you know, at some point.
Maybe
or
they lock up your cloud. Ah.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. You have
my shitty half-formed Google Drive jokes.
Well, it was just...
I can kind of remember what they were anyways. It's fine.
It's just... It was just so frustrating because, first of all, we couldn't use the ATM, and second of all, I was like, this woman looks so clueless. This just has to be like a ransomware situation.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad for her.
It was like, taking her a really long time to buy Bitcoin with this thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, you're in a bad place if you're buying Bitcoin.
And it was like a seedy, weird bar. Not even like a seedy bar. It was just like a weird bar where it was like,
yeah,
weird.
Is anything that seedy on the waterfront of... No, Portland,
it wasn't,
Maine.
Like, seedy. It was just sort of like, this is just, like, a bar the likes of which has not existed in, like, 30 or 40 years, and therefore this bar has not been updated, and, like, I don't know. It's just
it was a dive bar.
It was just a weird bar, so it's like, why would you go there to use the Bitcoin ATM
because
as,
you
like,
Googled
an innocent...
Bitcoin ATM, and this was the only one that showed up in
kind of... frumpy looking white lady, unless you had a ransomware situation.
I know, we've solved the case. It was definitely a ransomware.
I know. It just kind of bums me out. I feel really bad for her.
Okay. Well, she was in our way.
Yeah.
No, we'll have compassion. All right. We're just like talking. We're just reminiscing at this point. So that was that chapter of Dune. And how did you feel about it?
Fine.
Was it entertaining at all?
Sure.
I mean, I feel like at this point, just like anytime, every chapter is like, the base level is like, for you, is like waiting in line at the DMV, and then Jessica shows up and disappoints you, and like, that's like your equivalent of like a fly went across the window for like and you're a cat and you're like bad at it for a second and then go up to baseline just super bored.
No, I would say this. Okay, what could I equate the experience of reading this chapter to? It's like when you're like at your grandma's house and there's like nothing fun to do and there's like something, anything on TV, and you're like, I guess I'll pay attention to this because...
Oh, Wheel of Fortune's on.
Yeah, because, like, it's not like I've any other option of something better to occupy myself with.
In my grandma's house, Wheel of Fortune came on at the same time as the reruns of The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I would always watch that unless it was at my grandma's house, and then I had to watch Wheel of Fortune. I missed The Simpsons. And Wheel of Fortune is not a bad show. It's a fun show to watch. There's a reason it's been on for 40 years or whatever.
Yeah, it's not totally unentertaining at all. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's just sort of like, okay, like this piques my interest enough to like not kill myself.
Well. So, Dune helped you avoid suicide for another week. Good job, Dune. I like the Baron chapters. I like him as a villain. I think it's fun to like see his
he's
sort
very
of
very gross. There was a lot of gross.
Yes,
was
of
used,
course. We
like,
want you to know
multiple
a,
times in this
he's
chapter.
A big old gross tub of grossness. But you know, I just like the way his brain. You know, he's always trying to make it. You know, he's always trying to make it work. You know, he's not a dumb guy.
He's a real Tim Gunn.
He's real Tim Gunn, yeah. He just wants to make it work.
designers, let's just come in. We're trying to destroy the Atreides line and kill all their heirs. So I really am looking for, you know, just ways to torture and kill the population of Arrakis so that we can extract as much spice as we can.
I'm just really concerned that you're not dedicating yourself enough to the mission.
Andre, I'm just a little worried at this point with your project. I feel like you've been torturing this small animal for so long, and, you know, is it really worth it at this point?
Okay. Oh, man. There's so much more Tim Gunn impression where that came
all right.
from.
All right, guys. We gotta go because we dare not stay.
Yeah.
But please, if you like the show, tell your friends. I made a Facebook group. Or no, I haven't made a Facebook group. I made a Facebook page, and I'm probably going to make a Facebook group.
Yeah.
All
I
the
think
same.
Think what we want is a group.
Yeah. I made the page, and then I was like, I want a group.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So here's what I'm going to do. My promise to you guys is in the next day or two, my girlfriend begrudgingly reads Dune is already a Facebook page that you can come and like. Please feel free to come and like it. I'd love to see you guys there. And then I'm going to make a group so that other people can contribute to discussions or do whatever you want to. And I can do that. Maybe you can tell me, please, someone out there, come to the Facebook group and tell me why the fuck Duncan Idaho didn't pick them up the first time in the Ornithopter several chapters ago.
We need to know.
I don't.
It's really
somebody
important.
Explain it to me. I'm still baffled.
Yeah.
And
it's been keeping me awake at night.
But yeah, it's all right now, right freaking now. You can go to Facebook and search for My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune. You'll find us there, and please let's get it going, because I think that would be really fun for us to have a Dune discussion.
Yeah, and I for one would love to see some other begrudging girlfriends.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah,
or begrudging boyfriends, or
begrudging people who are
begrudging.
Being,
yeah, begrudging being, Dune readers
being pulled into this out of love for their significant other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. All right, that's great. That's all I had to say. And I love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
There you go.